Good evening. It is my honor and privilege that I have been given to come here with my brothers and sisters here at this congregation here in Wasilla, because I truly feel like I truly feel at home here. A lot of good memories here, and of course I've living in Anchorage and been attending a Rose Street congregation there. But I will always have a soft spot here for this congregation, for the people here. And that's my honor to be invited to speak here amongst you. As I go about this lesson, there are a couple of things. The first thing is something that I always say, but if I say something that is not in accordance with the scriptures and in any way, it does not represent the truth that can be found within the Holy Bible, please stop me when I'm talking and tell me so that I may correct the error of my ways. Because it's really my only desire to teach the things that can be found within the scriptures. As I go about the subject of this lesson, a couple things. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then this lesson is for you. And if you're a member of the church who has often dealt with people who somehow will, when you talk to them about baptism, they are so confused and they don't understand what scriptural baptism is, and you run into stumbling blocks along the way teaching others, I would suggest that this lesson is also for you as well. Because what I want to do is I want to confront some of the false teachings that we have on baptism. And I want to start out by asserting that many people believe untruths about baptism today. And this is simply because many wrong things are taught about baptism. And ultimately, the devil is behind false teaching, all false teachings. So the devil is behind all false teaching of God's word. Specifically, I want to look at a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 15, and also John 8 and 44. And the scripture says, or John 8 and 44, the scripture says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." And then for those today who teach false doctrine and how where it originates from, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 11, 13. It says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And sadly, the next point that I want to make is that some of the devil's most destructive lies relate to baptism. The true statement, there are millions and millions of pious people who will be lost because they believe the lies about baptism. Well, how can we know when and confront these lies? How can we identify certain lies being told about baptism? And the answer to that is by comparing them with the Word of God. See, Jesus said In John 8 and verse 31, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The bright light of God's word will expose the devil's dark lies about baptism. I want to start off here with the first thing, lie number one, the first lie we often hear, and that is that infant baptism is valid. Because of this, many people think that they have been baptized because someone else decided to have them christened when they were babies. What happened, however, bears no resemblance whatsoever to the baptism that we read about in the New Testament. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. When the Ethiopian asked Philip, what must I do? The answer, the response was, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the answer to that was in Acts 8 and 36, 37, where the scripture says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Baptism must be based upon faith. And a baby or an infant or a child is not yet able to believe or make a decision to follow Christ. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. A baby cannot repent. He has committed no sins of which he needs to repent. Nor can he be baptized for the remission of sins, since he has committed no sins. If you were only christened as a baby, and you believe that you were baptized, you have been deceived. You did not experience the baptism of the Bible. The second thing I want to add here is lie number two. And this is the idea that sprinkling and pouring are valid ways to baptize someone. Now, the word baptism is a transliteration of a Greek word meaning immersion. The context makes it clear. Now, the scriptures say in John 3 and 23, now John was baptizing in Enon near Salim, where there was much water there. And from that, one can confer that baptism requires much water. Also, Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 4, he said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. Colossians 2 and 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who he has raised from the dead. So the idea is you are immersed in water into that watery grave of baptism, and then you arise from that to walk in a newness of life. And if you have never been immersed in water, you have been deceived. You have not experienced a Christian baptism at all. Lie number three is the idea that baptism is not for the forgiveness of sins. My first question is, how do we know that this is a lie? Well, because we are commanded in the scriptures to be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 37 says, "Now when Peter heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" Many people do not obey this simple command because they believe another lie. Namely, that one is saved by faith only. Well, how do I know that this is a lie? Again, because the Bible says exactly the opposite. James 2 and verse 24 says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." So then the question comes down to, who do people believe? God or man? You see, God says we are not saved by faith only. Evangelicals say that we are saved by faith only, and because they have been deceived on this point, they also do not obey the command of Peter, which was to be baptized for the remission of sins. They think that their sins were forgiven as soon as they believed in Jesus Christ, and that baptism is not necessary for salvation. So as a consequence, evangelical baptism, although immersion, is invalid because it is not done for the commanded person. Even if you have been immersed, if you were not baptized for the remission of sins, you did not obey the command Peter gave on the day of Pentecost. You have been deceived. You have believed a lie. You have not been baptized scripturally. Lie number four is the idea that baptism does not wash away sins. Again, we know this to be untrue, because the Bible says exactly the opposite. Ananias told the penitent Paul, who had been praying and fasting for 3 days, in Acts 22 and 16, he says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you were deceived by the doctrine of salvation by faith only, thinking you were already saved before baptism, you were not baptized to wash away your sins. What you experienced was not the same baptism that Paul experienced. You have been deceived. You have not been scripturally baptized. Another lie, lie number five, is that baptism is not necessary for salvation. You see, how do we know this to be untrue? Because Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3 and 21, "There is an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Christ Jesus." Baptism saves us because of its relation to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not a cleansing of the body, but a cleansing of the soul, a cleansing of the conscience by the blood of Christ and the power of his resurrection. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5 says, "Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? And therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and even so should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be united in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism is essential for salvation because God has ordained that our union with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ would be accomplished through baptism. When someone says that salvation is possible through faith in Christ without baptism, well, he may believe in Christ, but he does not believe Christ. Because we know that Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." This person does not believe that. In a sense, the person who claims the former is more like an unbeliever because he does not believe the words of Christ. He does not believe what Jesus said about baptism. And if you were immersed thinking that you were saved before baptism, or that baptism was not necessary for your salvation, you have not experienced the baptism we read about in the Bible. Lie number six is the idea that spiritual rebirth does not occur at baptism. You see, some claim that there are two baptisms, that there's a spiritual baptism and a water baptism, and that the spiritual rebirth does not occur when one is in water. But you see, we know that this is a lie, because Paul said that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians 4 and verse 5. The water and the Spirit are both involved in that one baptism. Well, how do I know that? And that's because Jesus told Nicodemus, he said in John 3 and verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The spiritual rebirth is realized by God's Spirit when a penitent believer is immersed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ through baptism. And from that watery grave, this person rises to walk in the newness of life. If you think that you were baptized by the Spirit separate from or without baptism and water, you have dismembered the one baptism. You have been deceived. What you experienced was not the baptism commanded by Christ. In summary, what have we learned today about baptism? We have learned that it is based upon one's own faith. Mark 16:16. Acts 8:36. We learn that baptism is a burial or an immersion. John 3:23, Romans 6:4, also Colossians 2:12. We learn that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38. And that baptism washes away sins by the power of the blood of Christ. Acts 22:16. Ephesians 4 and 5 says that there is one baptism. John 3 and 5 says that spiritual rebirth occurs at baptism. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says that baptism is essential for salvation. Matthew 28 and verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make all disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 22:16 says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you have not done just that, if you have not been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, there is no better time to do so than now. And if you are a child of God And you find that some, you just need the prayers of the congregation to help you in your journey. The scriptures tell us that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whatever your needs are today, they can be met right here and right now while we sing the song of invitation that has been selected.